Welcome to the 1110 Leadership Podcast, where we tackle issues at the intersection of leadership, faith, and culture. I'm your host, Rob Shields, Vice President of Strategy at 1110 Leadership, and I'm joined by my co-host, founder and CEO of 1110 Leadership, David Spicker. Proverbs 1110 lays out a bold and countercultural vision. When the righteous prosper, the city rejoices. We're here to ask, what does it look like practically to be this type of leader? Leaders willing to invest everything they have so that everyone around them can thrive. Join us on the journey as we lean in, listen, and learn how to become Proverbs 1110 kind of leaders. The kind of leaders that make our cities rejoice. David.
Hey, Rob.
Happy March.
Thank you.
I know we're already well into March. We're so into March, it's March Madness time. I should say happy March Madness to you, because I know that's a big thing in
it's
this bigger
thing.
Household.
It's a thing on our end, yes. Our schedules are dictated by the schedule of March Madness. Let me just put it to you that way.
Your children are not allowed their dark dates on the calendar. They can't get married, right? No. It's like you got to move to a different weekend.
Yeah, I don't want some of that to get out, but you just over-communicated.
Oh, well, okay, good. Maybe I need to go back and listen to this episode when we're done, because today we're going to be talking about you and I's favorite new term, which is how to be a super communicator.
Right, which does not mean over-communicate.
Doesn't mean talk too much. No, it means use the words good, right?
Yes, that's right.
So we're going to be unpacking, we've done that for the last couple episodes. First, we hit conflict. Then we shifted to trust. Now we're going to talk about simply how to have better conversations. And that is the through line through this entire series. This is an article written recently, came out in the Wall Street Journal, talked about this concept of a super communicator. It defined it as people who are capable of saying exactly the right thing, breaking through to almost anyone, and figuring out how to connect in even the most unlikely circumstances, which I thought was just a really fresh take. I mean, there's so much out there when it comes to literature. Entire libraries of books have been written around communication, but something really sticky about this term that makes you want to lean in and say, yes, tell me how to be this. Because we all want to be able to improve our communication so that we can better connect with other people. And so I love this quote from the article from the playwright George Bernard Shaw. It says, the single biggest problem with communication is the illusion it has taken place. That is profound. And really the framing study that this article unpacks as it breaks down the ways to be a super communicator is this study done by Dartmouth College, where they showed different groups of people confusing movie clips and then studied different groups and how quickly it took them to reach consensus and get all on the same page with what they had just watched. Which is really interesting. This is an inner psychology major in me coming out, and how much I could talk about this for a long time. So what was fascinating was the scientists' first hypothesis was that the groups that performed better, they reached consensus more quickly and more efficiently, contained a strong leader who made that synchronization easier. But what they actually found was that groups with such leaders yielded the least amount of neural synchrony, being synced up because one person dominated the conversation. But here's the kicker. The groups with the greatest synchrony had one or two people who tended to mostly ask questions, up to 10 to 20 times as many questions as the typical person. They also encouraged their group mates to speak more, repeated what others said, and frequently adjusted how they were speaking to better match their companions' moods. Whoa. This is pretty amazing. I'm excited to unpack this and get your reactions to this. David, thoughts?
So, Rob, I don't geek out on much.
You geeked out on your new water bottle last episode. You were a real fan of wanting to tell the people about it.
Yeah, it was worth it. I'm still there. But this is the type of content I geek out on. I think this is incredible. Just the idea of being a super communicator and what we think about when that word comes to our minds. We think about someone who's an extraordinary public speaker or someone who's great at debate or convincing people to follow their argument or to convince someone to do something. When instead what this is saying is you need to be someone who asks great questions. And that's what a super communicator is. Someone who listens, someone who's going to adjust to match what they're hearing from the people they're engaging. This is tightly wound with our episode from last time about being leaders who build trust and how important communication is. And so before we just jump into saying, how do we become better communicators? We're going to be talking about what does it look like to ask great questions? And that's what it means to be a super communicator.
Yeah, that was actually their first point. The article lists four ways to be a super communicator. And number one is asking deep questions. And it gave some examples. And this can be common, I mean, even outside of a business context. This is kind of convicting to me when I think about, you know, you always hear that, what do you do for a living question?
And yeah, what do you do?
Right. Yeah. What do you do? I mean, it feels like that's just at every social occasion, people just have that one in their back pocket. But that's not what makes you a super communicator, asking a question like that. But shifting it slightly to maybe a follow-up question of, do you love that job? Or do you have something else you dream of doing? And I love that because the article points out in just adding two follow-up questions to the question that everyone asks, you get at someone's dreams. And that's a very different conversation, right? So other examples of instead of where'd you go to college, what did you love about college? Well, that's one word answer to could be an entire story that could fill a whole hour, right? From what kind of medicine do you practice to how did you go about deciding to go into medicine, right? Pick your category, pick your profession. These are subtle shifts that really help to set up how to ask deeper questions. Dozens of studies have found that people who ask questions that invite vulnerable responses and who match that vulnerability are more popular among their peers, more often seen as leaders, and are sought out more often for advice, which makes a lot of sense, right? So it's not just asking deeper questions, but then when you get a deep answer, matching depth for depth in your response to that response, which I thought was really, really amazing and kind of builds off of our last episode, right? We landed the plane around the importance of showing vulnerability in ways that build trust. Just feels like the other side of the coin in this conversation.
Yeah, I find we as leaders can be very lazy when we ask questions. We don't take that next step to think what would be that deeper question. Part of it is because we're just hardwired to kind of remain on the surface because it takes some level of vulnerability to ask a question that leads to vulnerability. It also requires that we care, that we really want to know the answers to those questions and that we want to know those dreams and motivations. So we ask the what questions, not the what's behind the what questions, you know, which gets to people's motivations, the parts of their stories that led to where they are, what they're doing. And asking those questions is differentiating. I find that this is not something that's common. Oftentimes people just launch into themselves and just talk about themselves and don't think to even ask questions, but even more so ask deep questions. But people love to be asked questions at that level. I find this all the time. They want to have the opportunity to share those kinds of things. It makes them feel valued and the sense that the other person or you, if this is you, really cares about them, you know, wants to know them. So it comes with us being very intentional, having some go-to questions, I think, is helpful too. Going back to what you said before, that question of what do you do that you hear at the party? I've changed that question in my own life to how do you spend your day? That's my initial question that I have with people because I also don't want to assume that people are in a job or that that job defines them. So it's interesting how people answer that question because they may give me what they do with their work, but they also may give me a lot of other things that they do during the day, which then opens up then to the next question, the follow-up question that can get after some of those deeper level places that allow them to share more of who they are and what they're about.
Yeah. Along those same lines, you know, point number two on how to be a super communicator is to prove that you're listening, which is required in that first conversation, right? Around being able to match vulnerability. You have to actually be listening to the person's response to be able to match it and meet them in that place for it to work. Otherwise, it's going to backfire, right? You can't just ask a deep question, ignore what they say, and then you're on your path to communicating better. So it said something really interesting that I found to be true in my own life, that speaking is such a cognitively intense activity that often speakers don't notice how listeners are reacting. I've definitely found that to be true. I'm enmeshed in what I'm saying, and I'm not able to actually read the room while speaking. And so in order to be a super communicator, we need to really prove that we're listening to people after they're after they finish talking. And it says one way to be able to do that is called looping for understanding. So David, can you unpack this question or this concept of what looping for understanding is?
So people don't know whether we're listening or not. That's what you just said. Because they're speaking.
Are you trying to practice it right now?
Yeah, I'm practicing it a little bit right now. And again, I don't want to minimize this point that to be a super communicator means you have to be a great listener. And for many of us, listening is a real challenge. So this idea of looping for understanding is you've asked a deep question and you're waiting for a response. And so when the person gives that response, you repeat it back in your own words to verify basically with them what you've heard, and you ask if you've gotten it right. So what that does is it prevents conflict or, you know, misinterpreting what they've said, and it creates a sense of psychological safety. So they feel safe so that they're even
heard. Yeah, they feel like they've been heard.
Yeah, so they want to even share more. So it's important, you know, as Rob, you just said, people, when they're speaking, don't know that we're really listening, and we could fake it. Mm-hmm. I'll raise my hand and say, I probably have learned how to fake it and look like I'm listening, but I'm really not. And that's no good, because when you get caught after even asking a deep question that demonstrated that you cared, when somebody realizes that you really don't care, that's a real problem. Mm-hmm. And that's why I think it's fascinating that listening is at the core of what it means to be a super communicator. And again, it's sort of countercultural. You know, we're talking about being a good question asker and then listening. It feels passive, like we're not communicating, but it could not be at the forefront of what it means to be a communicator. And we have to be very active in doing those things, asking questions and being an active listener. That's what leads us to be a super communicator.
Yeah, I think the irony of this whole conversation is one of the best ways to be a super communicator is actually not, the emphasis is not in the words that you say.
It's not communicating.
Yeah, it's actually not communicating, but actually being better at not communicating. Or in the way really convicting.
Or in the way we think about communicating, right?
That's right. That's right. But really leaning into the listening and seeing it as a two-way street. So this third way of being a super communicator is one that I think we could be very tempted to skip over because it almost seems like common sense, which means, of course, there's a Harvard study to back up why it's so important, which is determining what everyone wants. It feels like you wouldn't really need to unpack that one a bit, but when researchers at the Harvard Business School reviewed data in 2018 from hundreds of recorded conversations, they actually found that participants often reported that they did not enjoy those conversations because the signals they had sent to change the topic in the middle of that conversation went unheeded. Although people filled their conversational speech with information about their topic preferences, their human partners, which is, I don't know why they said human, what other kind of partners would they be, failed to pick up on many of those cues or just ignored them, which gets back to the point that you said earlier. So it says the easiest way to figure out what people want from a discussion is simply to ask. So it feels like we've been pulling on this thread for a while, David, because this was even, you know, a callback to our previous episode. We've talked about vulnerability a lot. We talked about the importance of asking questions that build trust. But anything on this point that you want to add?
Yeah, no, I think it's pretty self-explanatory. But, you know, again, it's paying attention to those cues to get a sense of where people are and putting ourselves in their shoes. It doesn't mean that we have to do what they say. You know, we may not want to go in the direction or provide the thing that they want, but we can acknowledge that we understand what they want and then make a decision if that's what's required, depending on what direction we feel like is most relevant, and determine the direction that we feel like is the best. But if we acknowledged where they are and what they want, then they will feel heard. So again, it's all about being a great listener.
So point four builds off of exactly what you just said, of the importance of not only being a good listener, but paying attention to more than words. Not just paying attention to words that other people are saying, but the fact that we need to pay attention to more than words. The article quotes psychologist Daniel Goleman here, and it says that people's emotions are rarely put into words. So the key to intuiting another's feelings is in the ability to read nonverbal channels, tone of voice, gesture, facial expressions, and the like, which I thought was really interesting. The article talks about how as we grow older, our capacity to notice others' expressions and body language often atrophies. So this is something that actually gets worse as we age. So children are better at this and are more attuned than adults. And this is so valuable, this idea of the nonverbal communication and cues, that NASA actually started using it to screen astronauts who would be spending a lot of time together in close quarters in space on long-term missions. So this, if NASA's doing it, for their screening process, feels like we should be paying attention when it comes to how to really communicate effectively and really connect with people that we're spending time with. So, David, I'm especially interested to get your take on this one. The nature of our work has us in a lot of meetings with CEOs and other decision makers where we, you and I, are in a position to simply observe a meeting and observe how people are reacting, how well they're listening or not listening, but also the nonverbal cues that are being expressed without words. So how important would you say is reading nonverbal cues in communication, especially for leaders?
Extraordinarily important. There's something called the 7-38-55 rule, which states that 7% of the meaning that we communicate is communicated through spoken word, 38% through tone of voice, and 55% through body language. So, yeah, nonverbal communication is really important. You know, 55%, more than half, and then we just take tone. This is why we talk to leaders all the time. This is a side note. Be careful in using email to communicate because you can't get nonverbal, you can't get tone. And we see so much conflict that happens through email communication and so much time saved, even when you think you're saving time, by having face-to-face conversation. But if you think about this, you know, as a leader, you have to think about it in two ways. One is, what are the nonverbal cues you are sensing from the people that you are leading and speaking to? Or you're asking questions of, what are they doing with their nonverbals or their tone or their gestures when they're speaking to you? And what can you discern from that? What are they saying to you that they're not saying with their words, but they're saying with their actions? And then flip it. What are you saying to them with your nonverbal cues and actions? We've had times where leaders are in meetings and they don't know what their resting face looks like in a meeting. And their resting face looks like they're disengaged or they're disagreeing with what somebody says, when in reality, they were fully engaged in the meeting and on point with what their coworkers were saying. But everyone responded to them as if they were putting a damper on the meeting because of their nonverbal presence. And so when that feedback was provided for them, they had to think through, how do I sit up? How do I smile? How do I lean in? Doing things that may not have been natural to them, but are nonverbal cues that show that they were engaged and agreeing with what was going on in the meeting. And it absolutely changed the tenor of the meeting, because before people didn't feel safe in their communication. So it's things like that that we have to pay attention to. We talk about this in the Just Leader, our blind spots, and having people tell us what our blind spots are. And a lot of times our blind spots is our nonverbal communication, what we're communicating. I have a terrible poker face. Rob has an amazing poker face.
Ironically, because I'm really bad at poker, so that's not helpful.
When you speak to me or when something happens, you know, I'll react. And I might not realize that I reacted one way and people think it's something when it really wasn't intended to be that way. And so I have to be very careful with how I react in certain situations with the way I'm communicating. So tremendously important for us as leaders to know how we're communicating through our nonverbals, be able to sense cues from others with their nonverbals, and to ask for feedback.
This conversation is amazing because it feels like in our work, we talk so much about trust, relationships, and just connecting with people. And it feels like this is the layer beneath that layer that really is at the core. I mean, these four ways of how to be a super communicator: asking deep questions, proving that you're listening, determining what everybody wants, and then paying attention to more than words. I mean, what a powerful script to take into enhancing and elevating the culture of a company, right? I don't care who you are. I don't care what you do. You just even pick one of these and go to practice it. And starting with number one, just asking questions differently and watching what that does to build trust, watching what it does to strengthen relationships. And it's going to require vulnerability, and that's going to maybe be a little scary. And we're going to have to obviously include boundaries around those things, but it can be transformative. And I love how simple yet profound this list is. So with that said, David, take us to the bottom line. What do you see as kind of the tying of the bow point here for being a super communicator you want to leave with our audience today?
Yeah, I'm going to build off exactly what you just said because I was listening.
Way to go. You want to loop it? You want to loop it back for understanding? No?
Yeah, exactly. But I think for all of us today, we should leave this podcast episode challenging ourselves to become professional question askers. Think today, think this week. How intentionally are you going to ask people you interact with or those you lead next level questions and see what happens? Not how was your day, but what was the best thing about your day today? Not how was your meeting, but what words would you use to describe the meeting you just had? And once they list the words, ask them a follow-up question. Why those words? Start yourself becoming a professional question asker, and then help your people do so as well. It's simple. I don't think it takes much for us to learn it ourselves and then train others on it. We just have to practice it and be intentional with it. And then we can let others grow in those areas as well.
I love that. I love it. Well, this has been a powerful journey, and I hope that this really does encourage our listeners to know that there are subtle yet profound changes that they can make to the conversations they're going to have today that can really have profound impacts on their leadership and life. So thanks so much for walking through this with me, David.
You too, Rob.
To learn more about 1110 Leadership, visit our website at 1110leadership.com. That's the numerals 1-1, then spelled out T-E-N, leadership.com. That's 1-1, T-E-N, leadership.com. There you'll find more resources to equip you on the journey of becoming an 1110 leader. You can also get connected to our growing leadership network. If you've enjoyed this episode, share it with a friend. To help others find us, you can also rate and review us on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts.